Welcome to Dollars and Cents for College Students, a multi-part podcast series that gives college students the knowledge and tools to handle their financial situation during and after college. Your host for this program is Professor Frank Longo of Centenary University School of Professional Studies. Please note that before making any financial decisions, please seek sound financial advice from a financial professional. And now, here is your host, Professor Frank Longo.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Dollars and Cents for College Students. It is my pleasure to speak with you today. Dollars and Cents is a financial education and literacy group designed specifically for college students. We offer ideas on financial issues for the consideration of college students. Our goal is to provide you with information so you can make sound and effective financial decisions. We will not tell you what to do, but we will give you something to think about. Only you can decide what works best for you. Personal financial issues should be considered in the context of life. The realities of life should guide your decisions on finances. So let's talk about life today. To put it mildly, we live in trying and difficult times. COVID-19 came out of nowhere and has impacted everyday life worldwide. It has sadly taken so many lives. It has created fear and uncertainty for so many people. You, as college students, face unprecedented challenges and uncertainties. Your lives have been disrupted as much as anybody's. The question is, how will you navigate the complexities and issues that you face? I suggest that you approach every aspect of your life in a calm, thoughtful, and purposeful manner so you can make well-informed, rational decisions, not just about finances, but about life in general. Think about what is important to you. Think about your goals and how you will achieve them. And most importantly, consider this question. What is your purpose? Only you can answer this question, and it may take some time for you to do so. When you find your purpose, or perhaps more accurately, when you recognize your purpose, you will also find your motivation to work hard, sacrifice, and do whatever is necessary to make life better for you, the people you care about, and the causes that are so important to you. By the way, sometimes our purpose finds us, often when we least expect it. A family member or friend gets sick or has a problem, and suddenly we have new responsibilities. We are needed. Our purpose has found us. Please be ready. Your purpose will guide you through life, through the difficulties, and it will be the basis for the many decisions you make in your lifetime. So far, we have not discussed money. That is purposeful. I suggest to you that life and people should be your primary concerns. Money is a necessary tool that should be used to help you live a good life. Use it well and wisely so you can better fulfill your purpose. Take care of it like craftspeople take care of their tools. It is not the be-all and end-all, as some say. It is the means, the tool to help you achieve your goals and carry out your purpose. I am not downplaying the importance of money, but I am suggesting that you put it in perspective. Life is more than money. At the same time, don't underestimate the importance of money. Regardless of your purpose, you will need money to pay rent, buy food, and pay for the necessities of life. You may need it to support a relative or friend. You may need it to finance a business you want to start or to promote the cause that is so important to you. Now, let's focus on the financial impact of COVID-19. Since the virus is so deadly, states and countries have closed borders. Businesses, including restaurants, hotels, movie theaters, and others have been shut down. Many workers have been laid off. Most airlines have canceled flights. Sports teams have postponed and canceled seasons. In-purpose religious services have been canceled. In-person religious services have been canceled. Some businesses will not survive the devastating financial impact of the virus. We live in an unprecedented time. To prevent economic disaster, interest rates throughout the world have been lowered to nearly zero, and governments are injecting trillions of dollars into their economy. These actions are also unprecedented, and they come with great risk. The cures for today's economic problems may be the seeds for future problems. COVID-19 has taught us a great deal, not the least of which is to be prepared for the unexpected. The entire world was unprepared for the health and financial impact of the virus. As you can see, many problems we face are not our fault. So what can you do to prepare for future problems? Consider a basic financial planning principle. Start and maintain an emergency fund. Open an insured bank account. By the way, an insured account is one that is guaranteed by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, also known as the FDIC. It's a federal government agency. If your bank fails, the FDIC will pay you your deposits. Goldman Sachs offers an online FDIC insured account called Marcus. You can start with any amount of money, and no amount is too small to open this account. Alternatively, you can find a local bank, credit union, that offers a similar account. The point is to have money in an account that is liquid. And by liquid, I mean you can withdraw it without penalty, without loss. But don't withdraw this money unless you have an emergency. The bank will pay you interest, which is in effect rent for using your money. And interest rates on this type of savings account are currently about 1 to 1.5%. This is a low rate, but emergency funds should be readily available and maintained in safe, insured accounts. The accounts I'm describing to you are safe and insured, and your money is available. Your goal should be to eventually have 3 to 6 months of living expenses in your account, and you should maintain this your entire life. If an emergency arises, you have money to use so you don't have to borrow and incur interest expense or rely upon someone else. This enables you to act quickly when an emergency arises. Most college students don't need the emergency fund while in college. But if you establish this now, you can start to build a cash reserve and you will be preparing yourself for life after college. By the way, parents may be impressed to hear this, and they may even support your emergency fund. This is a great start to financial plan. Once you have established your emergency fund, you should consider additional higher paying investments. As previously indicated, interest rates are at historic lows, and you can expect them to stay low for quite some time. While this is good for borrowers, it is bad for savers, people who deposit money in banks. The federal government is borrowing record amounts of money, and it will likely do whatever it can to keep rates from rising. If you only keep money in low-paying savings accounts, you will have to save significantly more money to achieve your financial goals. So what should you do? Plan your financial life in the same way you would plan your personal and professional life. Be calm, purposeful, and thoughtful. Develop a plan. Start early, start small, and consistently save and invest. Let me explain these points. First, what do I mean by start early? Begin immediately, if not sooner. I say that only half jokingly. The point is that the sooner you start your financial plan, the sooner you start to make money work for you. An early start allows you to use a very powerful financial tool called compounding. Let me explain compounding in this way. You deposit money in a bank account. It earns interest. Then the interest you have earned, if it remains in that account, earns more interest. The result is that you earn interest on your savings, and then you earn additional interest on your interest. Compounding is a very powerful financial tool, and it is even more powerful over long periods of time. This is why it is so important to college students. You hopefully have a long time frame to use this tool. We will talk about how this works with stock investing in another session. This leads to a reasonable and fair question. I'm a college student. Where do I get the money to save and invest? Consider a part-time or summer job. The first reason to do this is not financial. Even though you're working to earn money, the reason to do it goes beyond finances. You can learn a great deal about responsibility, communicating, problem solving, and just dealing with people in part-time or summer jobs. I know because I did. My summer and part-time jobs provided me with valuable experiences. These jobs also enable you to begin and follow an effective financial practice. Pay yourself first. When you are paid, before you spend any money, save and invest a portion of your earnings. If you do this on a regular basis, you will begin to take advantage of compounding. Paying yourself is an additional financial habit that you should practice throughout your life. Another source of savings can be gifts. Think of a gift you receive as found money, something you did not expect. This is perfect for saving and investing. Keep in mind, saving amounts to sacrificing. You are sacrificing the use of money today so you can use it in the future, maybe to buy a car, go on vacation, or help someone. As you save and sacrifice, remember your purpose. Remember your motivation. Let's talk about start small. Investing small amounts reduces risk. It also eliminates the excuse that you don't have enough money to begin investing. Many investments don't require large sums of money. No amount of money is too small to save and invest. Beginning this way gets you started and establishes good financial habits. In your life, you need to develop good habits for hygiene, studying, working. You should also develop good financial habits. Consistently investing small amounts is a good financial habit. When you graduate and get a job, you will hopefully have larger sums of money to invest, and you will have the habit of investing. By the way, many investments, whether it's the bank account or investing in stock, can be done for as little as $25 or $50. Since we can reasonably expect interest rates to remain low for quite some time, should we be satisfied with the approximately 1.5% return that savings accounts pay? No. There are alternatives. In addition to your emergency fund, separately, consider investing in dividend-paying companies, specifically common stock. First, what is common stock? It is an ownership interest in a corporation. To invest, you buy shares of the company. There are two ways to earn money by owning stock. The first happens when the price of the stock increases. When you sell the stock, hopefully you have a gain. Well, you'll have a gain if the price increases. Second, if the company pays a dividend, and I suggest that you buy stock that pays dividends. A dividend is a payment the company makes to owners from the corporation's earnings. So let's consider this situation. You buy Pfizer stock today for $38 per share. So let's say you buy one share, you pay $38. Assume the price rises to $50 per share, which over a reasonable time frame is a good possibility. The value of your investment increases by $12 per share or 38%. Additionally, Pfizer pays annual dividends, totaling $1.52 per share. If you buy a share of Pfizer stock for $38 per share and you own it for a year, the current return on your investment will be 4%. The current return is the return of the dividend This return of 4% is calculated by dividing the dividend of $1.52 by the cost of the stock, $38 per share. This 4%, the dividend yield, increases your total return. So in this example, the investor would earn 38% due to the price of the stock rising and 4% due to the dividend yield for a total return of 42%. You don't earn 42% in a savings account. Let's consider another example. Let's talk about a company named Amazon. Some of you may have heard of this company. Investors who bought Amazon stock in 1997, when it was first available for purchase by the public, paid $18 per share. The price has risen, and today it sells for more than $2,000 for one share. So an investment of $18 has risen to more than $2,000. Of course, that is from 1997 to the present time, and it illustrates how the long time frame can work to your advantage. Gains such as this are unusual. Can't expect that type of gain in every stock, but it does illustrate the potential of stock investing. The Pfizer example is a more common situation. I want to stress to you that not every investment in stock is profitable. And there is risk in stock investing. Stock prices can drop. We will talk about how to recognize, evaluate, and minimize risk in our next session, along with specific companies and investing opportunities. For now, keep in mind, there is risk with reward. A very important point, historically and in the long term, stock investments have the highest return of all investments. And this is why I suggest that you consider stock investing. The United States is a very innovative country. Many hugely successful investors and entrepreneurs, including Bill Gates of Microsoft, Steve Jobs of Apple, Jeff Bezos of Amazon, they gave investors the opportunity to share in the ownership of their tremendously successful companies by purchasing stock in Microsoft, Apple, and Amazon. Many investors greatly improved their financial security. Purchasing stock allows you to effectively become partners with some of the world's greatest minds and to participate in their success. Another reason to consider buying stock. There are significantly less companies today that offer stock for sale to the public than there were 5 years ago. This reduction in the supply of stock for purchase over time should contribute to gains for investors. Throughout this discussion, we have referred to COVID-19, the virus. We discussed the devastation it has caused, solutions to the virus, and ways to prevent future occurrences are still needed. The pandemic is far from over. The solutions to this problem will create opportunities for companies who develop cures, vaccines, medical equipment, and other medical solutions. The quarantine revealed our ability and need to work remotely from our places of business and to conduct online and distance classes. Our reliance on foreign countries for essential drugs and equipment shows the urgent need for more development and manufacturing of critical products in the United States. The bottom line is that many industries will have great opportunities, including pharmaceutical industry, technology companies, manufacturing, and other industries. Investors can share in those financial opportunities by identifying and purchasing stock in key companies. In our next show, we will discuss specific companies that are poised to invent the products our country will desperately need while creating profits for investors. We will also discuss the accounts that can be used to purchase stock and the factors that should be considered before investing. Despite difficult times we live in, I am optimistic, and I hope you are as well, that we can overcome our problems. We always have. Great problems create great opportunities. You can participate in our recovery by studying, working hard, helping each other. Most importantly, take care of your health. Remember, health is the new wealth. Until our next meeting, please be calm, thoughtful, and purposeful. Thank you.
You have been listening to Dollars and Cents for College Students with host Frank Longo. The opinions on this series are those of the host. Before making any financial decisions, be sure to consult with a financial professional such as a certified financial planner. For more information, visit cfp.net.